Tonight we return to our look at the armor Christian is supposed to wear, or the stand against the wiles of the devil. And we're down tonight to the third piece of armor Paul mentions we should wear, and it's found in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 15. Stand therefore, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now the purpose of all the armor is that it enables us to keep on standing and not fall and not be defeated by the trials and the temptations that Satan brings our way. Again, it's helpful to keep in mind that Paul is describing the garment or the military dress of a Roman soldier. Now, while our feet normally, I don't know about you, but it's true about me, my feet receive probably far less attention than my hair does and my face does and my hands. My feet receive very little attention. But all of us in growing up have experienced, I know in our lifetime, going barefooted and stepping on a nail or a piece of broken glass or on a thorn, and it does smart. We've also probably experienced wearing a pair of shoes and still step on a thumbtack or something else that pierces the leather or the rubber heel, and we sigh with relief, I'm sure glad I had my shoes on, otherwise I would have stuck this tack in my foot. Now the Roman soldier wore very heavy sandals, and they were laced around his ankles. And I've entitled the message, Don't Let Satan Untie Your Shoelaces. Remember I said one time before, don't let Satan unbuckle your belt. Now I say, don't let Satan untie your shoe. In other words, don't let Satan undress you. That's what he wants to do. So the shoelaces were tied around the ankles of the soldier. On the bottom of the shoes were metal cleats. Those of you who play golf will get an idea of what the shoes of a Roman soldier were like. They had spikes on them. In other words, the bottom of their shoe was almost solid steel. And this would give them protection, of course, from the enemy would carve long bamboo or long sticks with long sharp points on them, and they'd bury them in the ground with just maybe a half inch or a quarter of an inch sticking up above the ground. And then if a man came by barefooted with his weight and stepped on that, you see, it would jab that thorn right up or stick right up in his foot, and he'd be out of commission. So they wore these steel cleats to protect themselves from these wooden spikes that were driven in the ground to stop them when they attacked. Also, it helped them keep better footing because the spikes would dig into the ground. Now, Satan wants to get us down. He wants to stop our walk. Now, your feet primarily are used for walking, traveling, making progress, serving the Lord. And so Satan desires to get us down off of our feet, which means he will stop all of our forward progress. Again now, the battle, remember, the battle is all fought in your mind. We're not talking about the feet that you see beneath your pew down there. We're talking about something that's in your mind now. And so when I say he wants to get you down, what I'm saying is he wants to get you down mentally. He wants to get you down emotionally. For nothing can stop a Christian in his tracks like depression, worry. When we get down, we don't feel like doing anything. When we get down in the dumps, and when we get worried, when we get bothered, and we get upset, we don't want to progress. In other words, we are, in a sense, paralyzed. To put it another way, Satan wants to cripple us with the rough stones of worry and the sharp thorns of terror. And it's one of the most effective tools used against a lot of Christian people. If there's one thing that stops a lot of Christians, if it's not worldly interest, it's this thing right here. They get so worried, they're no longer able to fight. And they just feel like giving up. And so Satan hopes to make the rough terrain over which you and I are going to travel. We all like smooth sailing, but it's not always going to be that way. And Jesus said every day there's enough trouble in every day to take care of itself. Don't add tomorrow's trouble and don't worry about yesterday's. There's enough in every day for you to be busy with. And so as you travel over the rough terrain in your travels day by day, he wants them to be so upsetting and so troublesome and so frightening that he can put you out of commission. Now that's his desire. And he hopes that the daily troubles that you have will be able to penetrate your walk and cause you to stumble, make you too feeble to continue on down your journey in following the Lord. Now Paul says the only safeguard you have against Satan in doing this is to shod your feet. He says with the preparation or prepare your feet, put something on your feet, and he says the thing you put on your feet is the gospel of peace footwear. I thought about that a long time. The gospel of peace footwear. Now, while we cannot be absolutely sure what Paul has in mind by this statement, we can look at what Paul has to say on the subject of peace and maybe get an idea of what he was talking about that helps us deal with the problem of trouble and worry and anxiety in our life. And we all have it, or you're going to have it one or the other. Now, first of all, as we read Paul's, as he writes about the gospel, and he calls it the gospel of peace, in Paul's gospel messages, he tells us two things about peace. First of all, in Romans 5:1, he talks about the peace with God. The peace with God. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Romans 5:1, and we'll read this one together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now there's one kind of peace that Paul talks about, the peace with God. The second is the peace of God. Peace of God. Look, if you will, at Philippians, the 4th chapter. Again, one of Paul's letters. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. He says, don't worry. Don't let anything bother you. Be careful for nothing. Don't let anything upset you. But in everything, using prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And once you do that, he says, and the peace of God, now there's the peace of God, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall be able to sustain and calm your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now that's the two kinds of peace that Paul talks about in his gospel. So when he says, shod your feet with the gospel of peace footwear, I would assume he's talking about, be sure that you put on the peace of God and peace with God. Protect the peace of God and protect the peace of God. Now, most of you are well aware of what it means to be at peace with God. I've talked about this several times, and there's not anything I can tell you new, but I will quickly go back over it, and very briefly, what do you mean by peace with God? Before we were saved, according to God's viewpoint, we were at war with Him. Now, most sinners don't recognize this, and they're not going to admit this, but this is how I said, from God's viewpoint, they're at war with Him. Now, that is, they're at war with His will. They don't want His will done on earth. They're at war with His commandments, and they're at war with His control. They don't want Him controlling the earth. In other words, they are His enemies against Him and everything He plans for this earth. And they're fighting on the side of sin, and they're fighting on the side of Satan. Now that's the picture God has of an unsaved man. Now after salvation, the thing is different. There is peace. There is surrender on the part of the sinner. We change sides. We take a different position. We now enlist in the army of the Lord. We're now going to fight for His will and His law and His control. We're going to fight on His side. So no longer are we enemies. We are now at peace with God. America is now at peace with Japan. Once there was a war, now there is peace. The South is now at peace with the North. Once there was war. So, Romans 5:8 again. Let me show you what it says here. We'll finish where we started a while ago. Romans 5:9, I'm sorry. Now, verse 1 said, we have peace with God. Verse 10, once we were enemies. Now notice, 10, once we were enemies of God, but now we have been reconciled, that is, made at peace, to God the Father through the death of His Son, and we have been reconciled and saved by his life. Verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood, we're now saved from wrath. Everything God once had against us because we were his enemy has been removed, and there's no longer any wrath of God against us. We have forgiveness, and he has our loyalty. We have pardon, and he now has us on his side, agreeing with him and desiring that he be the victor over evil, Satan, and sin. A peace treaty has been signed, and we now have peace with God. Now, if we're to walk in God's blessing, all of us, if you want God's blessing, that's the reason you pray. If you want God's showers of blessing, if you want God's traveling mercies, if you want God's goodness, if you want God's grace to bless you, then you got to be at peace with him. The gifts and the goodness of God is all conditioned on our being at peace with him. If God is upset with me, if I am not walking in obedience to God, my prayers aren't worth 2 cents. The Bible clearly states this. If I regard sin in my heart, God will not hear me. In other words, I'm not at peace with God again. So this is an area where we've got to be real careful. And Satan desires to jeopardize this arrangement. As long as I am at peace with God, God promises to bless me, to watch over me. And all the promises and all the benefits that come along with salvation, God says, I promise, as long as there is peace between me and you. And so Satan desires to jeopardize this peace treaty. And Satan knows how easy it is to remove all of God's blessings from our life. And no matter how thick our shoes may be on the bottom, no matter how hard we may be to troubles, and how it seems that some people never are bothered by anything that comes their way, no matter how thick-soled your shoes are, you got to watch out. Satan can untie your shoelaces. And if your shoes are removed, then you're again going to stop walking and receiving the blessings of the Lord, and you're not going to be able to have the benefits that God wants to give his people, and his soldiers are going to need to win. Now, when it comes to your peace with God, Satan says, I don't want you to worry about it. Now, keep in mind, this is something Satan says, I don't want you to worry about. I don't want you to be a bit concerned about your peace with God. I want you to have no concern about fearing the Lord. Just don't be bothered about it. Now, this is one area where he reverses his strategy. The other side, we'll talk about this when we talk about the peace of God. He wants you to worry. Now he says, I don't want you to worry at all about your peace with God. I don't want you to worry about what God thinks of you. I don't want you to ever ask the question and be concerned if you're pleasing God, if he's happy with you. I don't want you to worry at all about your relationship to God. I don't want you to examine yourself. I don't want you to ask any questions. I just don't want you to worry about it at all. I think that's a good, healthy kind of worrying, if you want to be honest with you. All right? But Satan desires to slip our shoes off without us even knowing it. In doing so, removing the blessings that God has planned to give you. You say, how does Satan attempt to wreck my peace with God? Well, let me tell you how. You'll do this, will you? You remember the story of King Balak? He was the king of Moab. And he feared that Israel in their journeys through the wilderness was coming too close to his providence, too close to his territory. And he was afraid that they would attack him and rob him of his kingdom. So they sought out a prophet of Israel to try to pray down a curse upon Israel. Now that to me is stupid. But anyway, the prophet's name was Balaam. And so Balaam would pray, God, and the man promised Balaam, the king Balak promised Balaam a lot of money and wealth if he could pray down a curse of God upon Israel. And so Balaam, he had the audacity to go to God and pray. Well, when he prayed for God to curse Israel, God would turn around and bless him. Just do the opposite. You know, you never heard of God doing the opposite. But this way, he was confounding Balak. No matter how much Balaam prayed, no matter how hard he tried, he could never get God to curse Israel. Because Israel at this time in their life was at peace with God. And God was blessing them. God was looking after them. God was taking care of their needs. Finally, Balaam said in frustration to Balak, there's only one way that we can bring down God's curse on Israel. There's only one way we can do it. I can't pray it then. I mean, God's going to bless them. They're at peace with God. There's no way but one that we can get God to curse Israel. To get God to turn against Israel. There's only one way we can do it. And Balak said, well, boy, tell me. Still got that money up here for you. How am I going to do it? He said, well, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get God mad at Israel. You're going to have to destroy the peace that exists between God and Israel. How am I going to do that? Well, you take the prostitutes in the temples of the Baal worshipers, and you send them out to entice the Israelite men into immorality, and they go back and worship the Baal gods, and I guarantee you God will come down on them like lightning, and he will curse them and destroy them. And you know it worked. It worked. Old Balak carried out the plan, and peace with God was broken, and no longer did God bless Israel, but God turned on Israel and did them hurt and did them harm. And God then chastened them to make them repent. Now, Satan says, if I can keep you in hot water with God, I'll guarantee you it'll cripple your walk. If I can just get you in hot water with God. If I can just strain your relationship with God. If I can just make you and God unfriendly with each other, I can stop your progress because God won't bless you anymore. And if God won't bless you, boy, you are in real trouble. I mean, you have lost all your armor if God won't bless you. And Satan says, not only that, but the Lord will have to chasten you. He'll have to send trouble your way to get you to repent. And there'll be a lot of space of time in there that you'll be having all kind of troubles that you won't have any idea where they're coming from. And in the meantime, you're just still stopped, dead in your tracks, going nowhere, and life is really becoming difficult for you. And it's all your own fault. But it'll take you a long time to ever figure it out, if you ever do. And as long as you don't repent, you're going to stay stopped in your tracks, and you're not going to move forward anymore. You're going to be out of commission, on the ground, out. And it's all because God is no longer at peace with you, and God is fighting his own job. It's a very good tactic of Satan. So, brethren, be sure you maintain a peace with God. You got enough problems to confront without having God after you. Huh? I mean, Jonah had enough problems every day to deal with besides having God stick him out there in the waters. I mean, he had enough to deal with. So, Paul says, be sure in your travels daily that you stay at peace with God, because you don't want to lose his blessings. You don't want to lose his protection. You don't want to lose his power. You don't want to lose all the benefits that God wants to give you. But you'll lose them if you don't have peace with God. Get him upset with you, and you're going to lose. Now, then we come to the peace of God. The peace of God is something different now than peace with God. When a person gets down in the dumps from worrying, you can sort of watch and tell they're down in the dumps because they begin to drag their feet. They begin to drag their feet. They're out of energy. We say, I just don't have any get up and go. That means their feet just don't want to move. And they stumble and they fall at the least sign of additional problems and troubles. We say, boy, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. Before that straw came, you were almost dead still in your tracks anyway. You were just almost played out anyway. We're almost completely out of energy already. When that last little bit of trouble comes, that just topped it all off. We say our feet weigh like a ton. We can't pick them up. We're tired. You're tired mentally, you see, and that affects you physically. And we say, I just can't take another step. I just can't go on anymore. I tell you, I said this myself. Satan really, I mean, every time I turn around, that booger is untying my shoelaces. Peace of God is very difficult for a lot of Christians to get a grasp on and hang on to. Now, there's a special kind of worry that I think Christians need to be on really lookout for. And that is, and I don't know where Satan does this to you, but I think Satan tries to bring a certain kind of worry into the life of a Christian. For instance, he threatens us with all kinds of trouble, and he said it's going to be more than you can bear if you persist in this pleasing and serving the Lord that you're now doing. If you don't stop being so obedient, and if you don't stop being so righteous, and if you don't stop being so at all to Christ, I'm going to make you sorry. And I'm going to do something to you. Now, you remember I persecuted John the Baptist, and I persecuted Stephen. And I tell you, if you keep this up, I'm not going to leave you alone. And you better slack off, and you better get kind of cool in your walk with God, or I'm going to give you more trouble than you can shake a stick at. Now, I don't know whether the Lord or the devil ever does you this way or not, but he does me. And he says, if you don't start walking so close to the Lord, I'm going to start walking all over you. You know, I'm going to start walking all over you. It was when Peter was told by Jesus, when Jesus said to Peter, thou art the Christ, and Jesus paid Peter a real compliment. And he said, only the Father revealed this to you. In the next few verses, the Bible says, Satan sought to sift Peter like wheat. I mean, you get Jesus all excited over you, and you're getting somebody else excited. And that's the devil. And the devil says, I told you, if you don't stop, start cooling your relationship to Christ, I'm going to fix your little red wagon. And he begins to try to sift us like wheat. And he says, you got enough problems already, buddy, without me deciding to come in there and do more. I mean, I think Job had enough trouble until Satan decided to come in there and mop up on him, because he said, I don't like it. Job is too godly of a man, and I don't like his loyalty with you, and I'm going to come in and I'm going to make him suffer for being loyal to you, God. And you know, we get thinking about that and say, man, I'll tell you, I don't think I want to tangle with that guy. I think I'll slack off. I'll cool off. He said, if you don't stop that praying, I'm going to fix it where you're going to really have to pray. I mean, Satan threatens us and makes us worry about what is he going to do to us if we continue to be faithful and loyal to Christ. To do this, you see, takes away our peace of God. The peace of God leaves us. Now, I think a lot of Christians today fear being called a fanatic more than they fear being called a hypocrite. You think about it. You call some Christian hypocrite, they don't care. You call them fanatic, they go into orbit. You know, they don't even call that. You know, you're just asking for trouble, boy, when you start being too religious. You know, they sound like a devil. You better worry, boy. Nobody's going to like you. Girl, you'll never get a date. Boy, you'll never have anybody to marry you. I mean, if you don't straighten up and do different and sort of slack off all that stuff you believe in, man, you don't have a chance. You won't get a job. Nobody will hire you. Nobody will keep you. I mean, you're just asking for trouble. You won't have any friends. You're going to be isolated. There's just no way you're going to make it. This is what people tell you. And so you begin to worry. If I get too religious, if I get too righteous, I mean, I'm doing myself in. And Satan says, you're right about that. And so a person worries about, you know, getting to be a fanatic. And today it doesn't take much to be a fanatic. Not much at all. Then again, Satan, I think, wishes to take away the peace that comes from an assurance that God knows and does what's best for the Christian. I know he does this to me. I don't know about you, but he wants me to worry about things that will never happen. You say, how do you know they won't happen? Because God won't let them happen. God won't let them happen. Not if I'm at peace with God, he won't. But, you know, Satan says, well, what if? What? I get so tired of my mind saying what if. I want to do what if. Well, I have more ifs. I have more thorns to walk over, and every one of them is an if. What if? What if? What if? If all the ifs that I think about happen, there's no way I can survive. What if? And so we fear taking the next step because we say, what if? It's the wrong step. What if? There's something out there I hadn't thought about. What if this is going to happen to me? What if? What if? What if? And so you know what happens? You don't move. Or you got your shoes on, and they're all laced up, but you're going nowhere. You just don't move. Why? Because you're afraid. You're afraid to step out. Stay step out in faith. If I step, it may be the wrong step. And then I'll get myself in all kind of problems. I mean, I just can't do it. And we stand there frozen, scared to death to make a move. We see this in trying to talk to somebody about Christ. We just freeze. What if? What if I say the wrong thing? What if they won't listen? What if they get mad? What if, what if, what if? And we freeze. And we start worrying and we get scared to death. And we don't move. And we don't do anything because we're so scared. Satan just freezes our feet in place and fills our mind with dread of what that next step, if you take it, what it could lead to. I believe nothing but supernatural peace can release us from this kind of fear and get our feet to moving on down the road and keep us from remaining bogged down where we are. I don't know if anything is hard to deal with in the life of a Christian as frightened feet. I don't know if anything is hard to get moving as scared feet. I look sometimes at cartoons, you know, and a guy gets scared and he tries to get his old feet going, it just won't go. And I think that's one of the hardest things for Christians to do is get his scared feet moving. It's one of the most difficult things I know of. And it's only with trust in God's love and God's plan and God's wisdom can we ever free ourselves of such worry. And even then, it's not easy. You know, Paul's message to deal with the worry that normally comes into our life was to convince himself of the reality of Romans 8:28. And you all know it. For all things work together for good to them who are called and who love the Lord. He really believed that. And it was that belief that freed him. And knowing that all things work together for good. That's a lot easier to say than it is to do. And the peace of God is, as Scripture says, beyond understanding. How can you have peace? How can you have peace? Most of us, and I include myself, I think sometimes the peace of God is about as hard to find as a needle in a haystack. But without it, we're not going to move. Without it, Satan has really been able to paralyze us and to keep us from progressing as the Lord would have us do. And this peace comes mostly, I believe, by deliberate rehearsing in our mind all God's attributes. If God is everything Scripture says He is, what is there to worry about? That's easy said. But I believe that's where the peace of God comes from. If everything the Bible says about God is true, then what is there for us to worry about? But you have to know what the Bible says about God. His love, His power, His wisdom, His holiness. If you know what God is like, then why worry? Now that is where the peace of God comes from. Paul says, if we're to fight and to win, we must maintain peace with God and we must maintain the peace of God. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere and we're not going to be able to do any real fighting because we're going to be down and out. Father, we're thankful this night for the peace that you have provided, both that peace with God and the peace of God. And with those of us this night who are out of peace with God, may we repent. And that's the only way to restore that friendship and peace. And for those of us tonight who need the peace of God because of worry and fear and doubt and anxiety, may through the power of the Spirit and our knowledge of your Scriptures about you, may we somehow begin to trust and believe, as Paul did, that if you're what you really say you are in the Bible, then there's no reason to worry, and all things will really work to good if you're what the Bible says. May we trust this, believe this, and then begin to sense and have peace of God that we can step out and march on, just believing by faith that we have a mighty God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.